This week on the Time Bat Show.
Small Soldiers 2, Neanderthal Brain.
Crab Robot escapes from the toy factory and starts putting...
The toy factory, he's in the toy factory.
I don't know why he's in there, man, but...
It's like toy factory / military R&D.
Yeah, rent is really high, so, you know, you gotta...
They have to share an office space.
Gotta cut costs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 89. I am one of your hosts, Time Aces.
And I am your other host, Bat Snacks.
See, I went back to the other host thing that time.
Did you? I think, is that the first time I've said, and I'm your other host?
No, you did that a couple episodes ago. We're working our way into it.
That sounded good.
It did. It was our best intro, and then we're screwing up by talking about it.
No, it's okay. We can. It's good to reflect on the intro.
That we just did, like, 20 seconds ago. How are you doing today, Bassnex?
I'm doing better than average
today
than I am on normal podcast days for the past few weeks.
Because you were able to take a nap before
Because I got to take my nap before we do the podcast, and I'm less grumpy.
Did you get a gas station soda today, though?
No. I missed that step, so maybe on episode 90 we can aim for optimal.
You have to take a nap and go to gas station soda at the same time. And then your optimal podcast thing.
Yeah.
Anything exciting going on in your life today? Or this week? Or any, you know, in general?
I've gotten two new games this week.
Have you? What games?
I got Lumines for the Nintendo Switch.
Which is just a remake of the PSP one, right?
Yes.
I loved that game.
Currently love that game. It's still super fun to play.
I should get it. And then what else did you get?
And I also got Hollow Knight.
Yeah, I've been playing that too. That game's so good. You're not very far yet, though, huh?
I have played it for about an hour, and that was all today.
All right, tell me what your, like, very early impressions are of Hollow Knight. Okay.
Super early impressions about Hollow Knight are that the art is, like, beautiful.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And... seems very, like, insect-themed.
Yes, that's true.
Lots of beetles.
Lots of beetles. Yes, that's true. And
lots
it's kind
of skulls.
And there's, like, a map, and you don't really know where you're going kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah, I've noticed that at least the way it seems so far is all the money or, like, currency that you spend...
Geo.
...seems to be... Yeah, Geo. Seems to be on... like maps.
Yes.
Like, not necessarily on swords or shields or like guns or anything, but it's on actual like knowing where to
map
where
stuff.
You are.
Yeah.
Which
so,
is cool.
Yeah, so in the beginning of the game, like buying stuff, you just want to focus on getting map stuff. And then later you can get different stuff, but like yeah. The beginning it's like you just need to spend your money on like stuff that will let you explore more, which is really neat.
Yeah. I like it. Mm-hmm.
And you probably already realized that, like, you don't have a map until you buy one?
Yes.
I don't know if I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but you'll see.
I found the man that makes maps, and I think he gave me a free one.
Oh, a free one, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna run into him a lot.
Okay, I had a feeling.
He's making maps all the time, and you're gonna be buying them.
He seems nice,
the mapping,
and so does his wife.
Yes. Yes, that runs the shop upstairs.
Yes.
It's cool. The way they do maps is really neat. Like, you have to buy them, but then you also have to... I don't want to spoil it, but there's other things you have to do to, like... It's not like a game where you go to a new area and then just the map is there, you know?
Yeah, in a drawer.
You kind of have to... Right, you have to kind of... Like, even when you buy a map, it's, like, not completely filled because the guy is doing it and he doesn't know all the locations yet. So, like, you're going to fill it as you go, too. I don't know. It's a neat system. I really like the mapping. Because it makes the game very exploratory. Like, you go to a new area and you're like, I don't have a map for this area. I don't know where the hell I'm going. But it's, like, cool because you're like, oh, I don't know where anything is. But it's exciting when you find, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's a good game. The only thing I don't really like is, in the beginning, the combat is kind of eh. Because you have very limited abilities, but...
The combat, it's not the same, but it reminds me of The Binding of Isaac a lot. Because it's... It's like really punishing.
It's very timing based, like extremely timing based,
and very like if you mess up, the consequences are very, very severe.
Yeah, they are. And it gets better because you can upgrade your health and stuff later, so it's not as bad. But it's still, you know, it's still. And in the beginning, it's hard because you don't have a lot of abilities left. Like, all you can do is swing your sword in the beginning. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, and jump. But eventually you get more stuff and it's a little, it's a little better. So
I've gotten, right before I turned it off, before we started the podcast, I got my first ability, which was the Kamehameha
thing. Oh, yeah. Kamehameha wave. Yep. That's good. You're going to get more stuff.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool game. I finished it over the weekend, and I gotta say, it's probably one of the best, like, Metroidvania style, you know, that kind of style games I've ever played, ever. You know, it's like...
That's awesome.
It's really good. I don't want to hype it up too much for you, but...
So, just because I'm the kind of person that will skip it if I don't, like, know in advance, but is the story, like, should I read everything?
Yes, but you're not going to understand it. In a good way, though. Like, the story is meant to be very elusive and, like, it's very lore-based. So, like, you're not gonna, like, miss... If you skip stuff, you're not gonna miss, like, big story moments. You're more gonna miss, like, some lore stuff in the world. And that's kind of the... It's more of, like, for atmosphere and, like, kind of like, ooh, what happened here? Because obviously where you are is, like, all messed up and, like, no one lives there anymore. So it's more of that kind of, like, thing. And even when you beat the game, you're like, I don't really know what's going on in this game. But that's kind of cool for me, because it's like, you know, it's like, it's
You don't always mysterious. Know what's going on in the world.
Right, it's mysterious. So if you like that, then, you know, read it. If you don't, then don't. I would say anything, like, in the world, go ahead and read. Like, it's nothing's that long. They don't spend a whole lot of time on, like, oh, you need to read, like, a million things. It's usually pretty, you know, sparse, but interesting. So I would say read that. You'll get a journal where you can read all about the enemies. Like, that stuff you don't really... You don't need to read any of that stuff. So...
Okay.
I would recommend, you know, if you come across something in the world that has some text, read it. It doesn't take long. They don't, like, shove it down your throat like some other games where it's like, oh, my God, I'm reading 20... I'm, like, reading, like, 20 minutes, and you're like... Can we stop talking and just get back to
it?
Yeah, it doesn't... It didn't really do that much. There's a couple battles where they talk to you a little, but it's like three text boxes and you're, you know, it's not like 20 minutes or anything like that.
I do notice a little... It seems a little bit Dragon Ball Z-ish, actually.
What do you mean?
Because, I mean, to heal yourself, you do like the Super Saiyan power thing. You do the
Super Saiyan thing, yeah.
And your first power is, you know, the energy ball.
That's true. It's true.
And, you know, you've just said that, you know, bosses maybe taunt you mid-battle, and...
They do, yeah.
That's pretty Dragon Ball.
That's true, it is. It's not really like that in the way you fight at all. But, yeah, I can see what you're saying. I would say the game is similar to, like... It's crossed between, like, a Metroid or, like, a Castlevania, and then, like, Dark Souls, if you ever played Dark Souls.
Yes.
Because it's, like, you have no idea what the hell's going on in the world, and also the combat can get really hard. And you need to pay attention to the enemies, like, a lot, or you'll die. So, look forward to that. But yeah, it's a really good game. So, if you haven't played Hollow Knight, listeners, I would recommend it. Let's talk about Luminous for a second. Or Lumen. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Is it Luminous?
I pronounce it Luminous, like Illuminate.
Luminous. It could be Lumens, you know.
It could.
That doesn't sound as good, though.
No, I like Luminous.
So Luminous, or Lumens, or however you pronounce it, is now on Switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got it on Switch, or did you get it on PC?
I got it on Switch.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's like a rhythm Tetris game.
It's rhythm Tetris, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember loving that game, you know, however many years ago it came out on PSP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really, really fun.
Yeah, it's really challenging. The strategies you can use are pretty deep. Mm-hmm. And I like that it seems like in this version, the scoring is more aware of certain exploits you can do. Uh-huh. I remember in the first Luminous, a good way to cheese your way through the game was just to make a single tower. And, like, just, like, there's a certain combination of moves you can do with any piece that you'll never game over with.
Just but a single, one, and then you wait for the thing to swipe across, yeah, and then it combos it. And you,
yeah, yeah, but it's really slow. And I think in this game, it seems to reward going fast a lot more. I don't know if that's true, but it seems that
way. That's cool. I need to get it because I really like Luminous. Speaking of Luminous, go ahead.
I was going to say what's super cool in the Switch version is that the HD Rumble vibrates with the music.
Oh, so that is so cool.
You feel it in your hands.
That's so cool. Feel the music.
Yeah.
I really liked how Luminous did it because it kind of integrated the beat into, you know, the puzzle because, like, your combos are getting cleared, like, on the beat or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that bar really moves at a tempo, like, on the measure of,
of the music. Beat. It's really cool. It's really cool how that works. And, like, the faster songs, like, it moves faster.
Yeah.
And the slower ones move slower. And, like, the slower ones give you a little more time to set up, but you're not getting as many points, you know, as with the faster songs. I just remember it really being really cool. Puzzle games today, they don't really do it for me. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about at all.
I agree with you, but I don't know if I can think of an example of a puzzle game that's... There's a puzzle game for phones I played called, Puzzles and Dragons or something. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's like
that.
Pokemon and, like, yeah, Bejeweled.
It was okay.
It's terrible.
All the puzzle games now are, like, so... Like, they've gotten away from the Tetris thing, where the Tetris thing is... My optimum puzzle game is, like, here's one thing, and I can have just an endless mode where I play for, like, the same game forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want. Like, the ability to do that. But a lot of puzzle games today, it seems like they're all, like, miniature little, like, here's level one. You know, challenge one and challenge two. And I'm like, I don't care about that at all. Yeah. I just want to get, like, the high score, you know?
I want to get, like, lost for an hour
in this puzzle. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to, like, have all these different mini puzzles or whatever.
Get rewarded every 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, I don't care about that. That's why Luminous is cool, because you can get really in the zone and, you know, and you can be like, oh.
It's a good zone game.
But in the mid-2000s, there's a lot of those cool kind of zone-out puzzle games, like Luminous, Meteos, Bust-A-Move.
Bust-A-Move, yeah.
I like those a lot. And another thing about those is I'm pretty sure all those have like a competitive mode too.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Meteos especially, like it was subtly like only multiplayer.
Yes. It wasn't like really, but it was. Seriously. Yeah. Like even the single player, you're fighting against a CPU.
Yeah.
I love Media so much. I wish they made that game again. No one played that.
If they release it for Switch, I'll buy, like, two of them.
Me too. Yeah. No one played that game, you know? Like, no one played Media. That's the problem. It was me and you and a couple people in GameFAQs played that game.
Do you remember how excited we were when that came out?
It was so good.
It's the guy that made Kirby and Smash Brothers, and he made a puzzle game.
It was so good. If you haven't heard of Meteos, listeners, I don't even know how to describe Meteos. Luminous you can describe as like, it's like Tetris, but with like a moving combo breaker. Meteos I don't even know how to describe. Because it's so a puzzle weird. Game. Yeah, but I don't even know. I don't know.
It's you sort like, of matching lines.
Yes.
Blocks and lines.
You can swipe up and down to like switch tiles. And if you get tiles like three in a row, they like... blow up and burst your whole section of the puzzle up into outer space.
Yeah.
And depending on how many you match, the greater, force that it goes or whatever.
Yeah. And the ultra cool part of Meteos is there's a mechanic where you can speed up time as much as you want.
And you can just hold the button down.
Yeah.
And like the coolest part of Meteos was getting good enough where you just hold that button down like the entire time. You're just making all these combos. I remember when we were younger and we were playing that because they had a versus mode and we played it together quite a bit. Oh, and they had all the different characters, you remember?
Meteos? Every stage was a different character.
Yes, because they all had different tiles and they like had slightly different properties like how fast the blocks would fall and like launch velocity and like all these crazy things.
Different art, different music. They had totally different feels.
Different distributions for what tiles you're going to get at, you know, what times and stuff. I guess similar to like Super Puzzle Fighter in a way, but even more to the like, even more unique.
Yeah.
But we would play, and I remember when we got to the point where we were skilled enough to hold the button down that sped time up the whole time, we were like, oh, we're really good at this game now. Like, this is how they would do it. But yeah, that game never really took off, unfortunately. I was hoping it would be like the thing, but it didn't. It's fine.
Yeah, not everyone likes the same things as,
a little bitter about
as
it.
Us.
I just love that game so much. But if they made a Meteos, I mean, I'm going to get Lumines because I love Lumines.
Mm-hmm.
Meteos is more of like a competitive puzzle thing.
Yeah, for Lumines, I think multiplayer is secondary.
It's good. It's good, but it's not. Yeah,
it's not the most fun part.
Lumines is fun for like you do like the endless mode or whatever, and see how many points you can go, or you know, you can see how the high score you can get. I think that's the cool thing about Lumines. Meteos is definitely like I want to play a puzzle game, and I also want to wreck the other guy that I'm playing against. Like, oh, I got you with that combo. Yeah.
A good person in Meteos is like a good person in Puzzle Fighter. You can just end the game in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, Puzzle Fighter is another good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're really good. But you can like counter people. I don't know. There's a lot of different strategies in Meteos. And I wish that came out like a re-version because I feel like a lot of people missed the boat on that.
Yeah.
But if it came out on Switch, I think people would be all over Meteos. Personally.
I don't know if people would buy it. I don't know if people like that.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
But maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I think if you say, like, made by the guy who made Super Smash Bros., people would be like, okay.
Yeah, they should have done that the first time around. We only knew because it was just HAL Labs.
Right. And, yeah, I read it in a magazine. And also, if you open the menu in Meteos, it's, like, the exact same as the Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, they had the Super Smash Bros. Style, like scrolling.
The floating menu or whatever. It was so goofy. Anyway, video games are fun. I need to get Meteos. Or I need to get Lumines and Meteos if it ever comes out, which it never will.
I had a thought today about video games. Do you want to hear it?
I would love
to. This is, like, kind of random. But
tell us.
So, you know video game streaming on Twitch and YouTube and how people do that these days?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it weird that people can do that for free without paying royalties to the game companies?
It is very weird, yeah. This has been a hot topic of the world for a while.
I've missed it.
No, not really. I guess that's true. Here's the thing, right? I think a lot of video gamers are kind of numb to this whole idea of isn't it weird that you can, right? Like, paying for anything. So, like, it's not weird to them that it's, like, you know, that you could just play these games for free.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is weird to me, like, thinking about it. You just can do it.
For any listener who's not familiar with what we're talking about, so when you are watching a movie, if you videotape yourself watching that movie and put it on the internet, you can get fined and go to jail.
You can go to jail, yeah.
You can go to jail for making a video of you watching a movie and putting it on the internet. Because of copyright.
Yep, because of copyright laws. Yep.
For a video game, I can videotape myself playing a video game. I can play through the whole game.
The entire game.
I don't have to record my voice over it. I don't have to do anything that's like fair use. I can just record the game audio, the visual, and just put it on
the
internet.
And then people are like, yeah, that's fine.
And people will give me money for it, and I don't have to give any to the game studio.
It's the strangest thing. It really is. If you think about it, it's really strange.
I think like, it's proof that copyright law is like dominated by old people that don't understand.
That don't understand how the video games work. Like, if they knew it, they would be like, well, this is bad, but they don't get it. Yeah,
they don't get it. They haven't realized it yet.
They don't get that video games definitely have that. It is so weird, though, because, like you said, with the movies, like, yeah, you get in big trouble if you did that. Even with, like a work of art, if you legally copy a work of art, you get in trouble for that, you know?
Yeah.
But a video game, like, play the whole thing through, videotape it, and it's fine.
No one cares.
People are like, oh, it's fair use. And it's like, is it, though?
It's not.
Is it fair use? I don't think it is. Like, fair use is like, you know, if you watch a movie critic talk about a movie, and they have, like, clips of the movie while they talk about it. That's fair use, because they're using clips of the movie and they're talking about the movie. Yeah. You're not watching the whole frickin' movie, like, during the review.
Or, like, Spaceballs. That's fair use.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a... Yeah. It's an original thing, though. It's like, parody. This is just literally the game, you know.
For being free.
By something else. You know what I want to do? This would be a very interesting intellectual property, philosophical, you know, brain... question. I don't know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Interesting question. So you know Twitch plays Pokemon?
Yes.
Okay. So do that, but instead of Twitch playing, like the whole of Twitch playing Pokemon, you randomly select one user to play the game, like in the chat. Like you just select them at random. And they can play as long as they want. For as long as they want to, and when they leave, then someone else gets to play. But they can play the whole game ostensibly if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they just stayed there. Now, is that fair use? Because they're just playing the game for free at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But under the Twitch rules, it would be the exact same as any other, you know, stream of a video game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would be a good idea to make some money.
Right?
Because people would wait and watch for their turn to play.
Yeah, exactly.
And for their turn to be watched and get
attention.
They'd
be like, oh, I want to play this game for free. Maybe you can integrate some controller into it somehow. You know, and then, you play this game for free. And then you make some money off of it because all these people on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the game company gets $0 from this.
For, like, 1,000 people playing.
Which is bizarre, because so many people are playing this game for free. Like, that's wild. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's...
But you could do that, theoretically. You could do 1,000 different streams of the same game running on, like, 1,000 different PCs. And, you know, one person comes in and he gets to play, or she gets to play. And then, you know, the 999 other people get to play on all the different streams. And so you're basically giving people the ability to play these games for free. If you think about it, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know, that's like, that's not fair use. Definitely not at all.
It's definitely not fair.
But it would be, there would be no problem with it, I could see.
Yeah. Like, my thoughts are that I don't know if it's gaming companies that need to do it or gaming people, investors need to get with the program, but
mm-hmm.
a video game, you can't work on something for like years and then sell it for $30. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't work, really.
Yeah.
Like, what if you were to make a pizza for 3 years straight and sell it for $30? Like, do that.
Are you saying games are underpriced? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there needs to be a change.
A pizza for $30. Like, you just bought Hollow Knight for $15.
Yes.
That game takes like 40 hours to beat, and you paid the same price as a pizza. You know, like a really big pizza.
I paid $20 for a pizza.
That is weird. I mean, you're right. I don't know. That is weird. I don't know. That's strange. So Twitch is going to fall down somehow. I don't know how, but it will.
Yeah.
I love watching stuff on Twitch, but I don't know. I think it's going to have a market with, like, retro games, because the publishers of retro games don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, Sega, Nintendo. You're playing, like, Sonic 2. Like, Sega's like, great, watch Sonic 2 and buy the new Sonic while you're at it. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
But if you're playing, like, something that's, like, currently a game that people will buy, you know, then it's like, well, you know, is it fair for that?
We should at least get something from it, you know? We
should get something, yeah. I don't know. It's strange. It's a very weird...
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting in the next 5 to 10 years to see where it goes. Because it sprung up so fast. And it could go away just as fast, too. So, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be like online poker. It would just take one night, like, and it's gone.
You're right. Like, some law could pass, and then boom, it's gone overnight. It's wild. No, no, no. Anyway, you want to do your first trivia question of the day?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. You have 3 trivia questions today. I'm going to give you one... you know, every 20 minutes or so. Your first category of the day is movies, and you can pick a lifeline for this category, what lifeline would you like?
For my first lifeline, I will choose Monty Hall. I'll use my big guns first.
Good choice. Yeah. All right. Your category is movies. The okay. question is, Reed Hastings, the founder of Netflix, said that he was inspired to start Netflix after he got a $40 late fee on a VHS copy of what movie? Is it A, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? B, Apollo 13? C, Ed Wood? Or D, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Oh, no. I've What's never heard of the last one.
Well, it's a real movie. These are all real movies. Reed Hastings, founder of Netflix. Okay, got a $40 late fee on a VHS copy of one movie.
You know, if it's... I'm inclined to say D, just because if it's not, that means that you like, picked that movie as D.
But you I knew you were going to think about this.
Yeah?
Yeah. The choices are Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Apollo 13, Ed Wood, and Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Have you heard about all these other... Have you heard of all these other movies?
Okay. Okay, so I'm in a Monty Hall.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to lock in?
So Ed Wood, he's like a techie kind of guy. He might like Apollo 13 because that's about science, right?
Who, Reed Hastings?
The Netflix man.
Yeah, Reed Hastings.
Yeah.
I guess he's like a techie guy. Yeah, I guess that's a good thought.
Techie men, they like drugs too, so he might also like Fear and Loathing.
Fear and Loathing, yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
If this was John McAfee, it would be Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, it would.
We need to talk about John McCabe more on this show.
Can we talk about him after trivia and how he's the best person that to ever live?
Absolutely, talk about John McCabe.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to use my Monty Hall.
Okay.
I'm going to lock in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Okay. So I'm eliminating Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and Ed Wood. So it's either Apollo 13 or The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Here's another thing. Why would you rent Apollo 13?
I don't know.
I don't think it's a very good rent movie.
Why? Because it's on TV like every day.
Yeah.
It really is, though.
And like once you've seen it, is that really going to be like, yeah, let me
watch it? I like that. Apollo 13. I watch it when it's on TV. But it's on TV like all the time. Like I can turn on the TV on TNT and like chances are Apollo 13 is on.
Yeah.
Like, there's a 90% chance that at any given moment...
All day.
Some channel is playing Apollo 13. It's a very popular movie.
I'm going to say that the Netflix man rented The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
You're really going? You're going with that one?
And then he neglected to return it. So, final answer.
The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas is incorrect. Dang. The correct answer was Apollo 13. I love how you fell for that.
Why didn't he just watch it on TNT?
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't around when he got it. I don't know. Okay. No, this was going to be this would be the late 90s, so it probably this is prime Apollo 13 on TNT time actually. Yeah, I don't know. Some movies play like all the time, you know what I mean? Like you turn the TV on and it's on. Lord of the Rings is always playing on TV, too, somewhere.
Cool Hand Luke.
I don't think I've... Well, yeah, that is on a lot. Apollo 13. What are some other ones? One of the Batman movies, like the earlier ones.
Jim Burton, not Jim. Tim.
Jim Burton.
Good old Jim Burton.
His brother.
Yeah. He made a worse Batman than Tim Burton.
Jim
Burton.
It like never saw the light of day. They after like Batman Returns, they're like, Tim, we don't really like the direction you're going. But your brother Jim, he's got some great ideas for the next Batman. And they like made it so that when they did the stylized, because you know, in the Batman movies it says Tim Burton's Batman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In the Jim Burton version, they stylized the J so it looks like a T.
Yeah.
So everyone thinks it's still Tim Burton.
You know the J.R.R. Tolkien sigil? kind of yes, like that.
It's like that. It's like that. What would Jim Burton's Batman movie look like? Like, what villains would be in the Jim Burton version?
So it's his, like, it's Tim's brother.
Yeah, so Tim did the Joker, obviously.
Penguin, I thought, was...
Yeah, Joker was in the first one, and then Penguin and Catwoman were in the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're, like, goth Batman. That's the stuff.
Yeah, it's, like, very dark and brooding.
Yeah, mall goth kind of Batman.
Yes, mall goth. Hot topic Batman.
Yes. So, Jim... Is Jim, like... Does he try to be his own creative voice that's totally separate from his brother?
I think he, like... He's probably... Maybe... I'm trying to think if Jim is older or younger. Maybe he's, like, older. So he's, like... You know... He's jealous of his brother's
fame. Yeah, I think older.
You know? So he maybe thinks, like, he has his own creative voice that's, like, better than Tim.
Yeah.
Tim just got lucky, you know, with Edward Scissorhands and stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, he wouldn't use the Malgoth style.
No, he would have his own thing. Probably equally weird, because he, like, wants to one-up his brother, but, like, in a different kind of way.
So what kind of style is Jim Burton?
I don't know. It could be, like, really, like, bright and, like, not happy, but, like... What's the word? Like, clinical, if you will. You know what I'm talking about?
It could be, like, cel-shaded.
Sure. Why not?
You know, A Scanner Darkly?
Yes, like that.
How they used, I think it's called rotoscoping.
Mm-hmm.
He did that with the new Batman. So
it's like rotoscope Batman?
And that now never took off because it looks terrible.
Now, are we talking Michael Keaton reprising his role again, or are we doing a different, completely different Batman?
Probably new actors.
New actor.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be Val Kilmer or George Clooney, because they were Batman later. Mm-hmm. So, like, who is, like, the lost Batman? You know, who was big in, like, the early 90s?
The lost Penguin is John Goodman.
Who was really big in the early 90s?
Yeah.
That could have worked. John Goodman works. Who could have worked for Batman? Who was big in the early 90s? Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Right?
He's perfect.
I mean, not really.
But. No, I mean, this was before he said those things.
Right. This was like, he was riding on the success of Lethal Weapon. You know, he could totally be Batman. Or could have been back then. And he would have been like a kind of a psychotic Batman.
Yeah.
You know, like, Michael Keaton is very, like, loner, sad Batman. You know? Mel Gibson would be, like, a kind of a loose cannon Batman. Basically the same character as Riggs in Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Just Batman.
He's, like, hung over all the time. He has to take aspirin when he wakes up.
He, like, wears his bat suit underneath his clothes so he can quickly rip them off. Like, even, like, the cowl, like, it's underneath his hat or something. Like, it's obviously him. He just
pulls
him.
It down. Yeah.
It's like, it's everyone knows it's him. Like, Bruce, yeah. We know you're Batman. He's like, what? I'm not Batman. And he, like... I'm flattered, but no. And he's, like, a really tough Bruce Wayne. Like, other Bruce Waynes pretend to be, like, dumb and, like, naive.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, like, a tough guy Bruce Wayne. He's, like, a no-nonsense Bruce Wayne. And then when he becomes Batman, he's, like, the same, just more.
He's exactly the same person.
Jim Burton's Batman.
There should be a scene where he, like, fails his costume change. And he, like, they're in the board meeting, right? And he, like, someone says, like, wow, I wish Batman would get on our competitor. And then Mel Gibson, like, his eyes light up. And he's like,
I'm ready.
What was that? I'm getting a phone call. And he, like, crashes into a wall, like, runs into it because he's hungover.
Because he tries to get suited up really quick. Yeah. He goes in the bathroom, and he, like, goes in the stall to try to change, but the stall's not big enough, and he's, like, bonking his elbows everywhere. And then someone comes in and is like, is everything okay? And he's in here, and he's like, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
He accidentally uses the Batman voice.
Yes. And they're like, Batman? And then he turns back to Bruce, and he's like, no, it's just Bruce. It's me. It's not Batman. The whole movie, there's no villain. It's just like him trying to figure out how to like integrate Batman into his regular life. And he's like trying to be a vigilante, but he's not doing a very good job.
People get away like all the time.
Like, he has like a police scanner in his house and like in his car.
Yeah.
And he like runs for like, you know, when something bad happens, he like follows the reports or whatever. But yeah. Like, this never works.
This is very much Mrs. Doubtfire as Batman.
Yes, it's like
the- maybe the maybe the motivation for his character is that he's trying to impress his ex-wife so that they can get back together. That's maybe. A very
this '90s.
Plot.
This is good. No, this is good. Okay, so instead, I don't know if I want to do rotoscoping anymore. I don't think it fits.
No, not with Mel Gibson Batman.
But I'm thinking of like really oversaturated like '90s like action comedies, like buddy cop kind of stuff.
Yes.
So like Lethal Weapon and anything with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, mm-hmm. like that kind of tone of like, you know, everything's kind of bright and. You know, yeah. And it's contrasted with the city at night, yeah. which is there, really dark.
There's a lot of laser lights. There's a scene with an arcade
yes.
in it.
Like. Yes. There's like a VR machine like from 1994. Yeah, he has an ex-wife. Maybe he has like a kid who he's trying to impress too. That he has to like get home to for like Christmas or Thanksgiving or something. But he has to be Batman too.
And the finale is like that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he's the superhero, where his kid finds out he's Batman. Except his kid is, like, disappointed.
He's, like, not impressed at all. Because he's like, you're Batman? You're the guy that's been ruining the whole town this whole time? And then the very end, then they reveal the villain. Like, in the hopes to make a sequel that never happens.
Yeah.
Like the Joker, or like, I don't know, some really bad villain. It can't be the Joker. It could be like Clayface or something, you
Killer
know?
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. He like comes up from the sewers at the end and he's like, hello, Batman! And then Mel's like, it's time! And he like puts his cowl on and then roll the credits. And I love how nothing really happens in this movie. It's just like Batman being a man.
Just like real, I mean, that's real life. You just, it's a struggle.
Yeah. And like, he works at like Bruce, at like Wayne Enterprises, because he's like, you know, he's the son of the founder or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, he's not good at anything, so they like put him in like a really dumb desk job or something.
Yeah.
If, you know, to like placate
him. That's sort
of
Batman already, if you think about
right?
it. Like, he doesn't really do anything.
Right, but like, you see that a lot more in this movie.
Like they talk, it's like, they like talk shit about him a lot. Like, oh, that Bruce, like, what the hell is
he
doing?
He's so useless.
Do?
Right. And he just sits at his desk and he, like, you know, he, like, does something. He, like, surfs the internet or something all day. Well, the 90s, so they didn't have the internet, but I don't know. He
plays Sega Game Gear all day. You got a product tie-in.
Yes. There you go. You gotta have those early 90s like product tie-ins for your movies too, you know. He drinks like Pepsi or something.
Yeah. No, like Pepsi Max. Like something Pepsi had to stop doing because it just never.
They're like, Pepsi Max isn't working. We need it in Jim Burton's Batman. We need the new Pepsi Max. Now, would the title just be Jim Burton's Batman? Because they already had Tim Burton's Batman, so the audience is gonna be confused, I feel like. It could be like Jim Burton's The Batman.
God.
You know, they use that title sometimes. I feel like.
Yeah, I think that would do it. Jim Burton's The Batman.
I like this movie. Anyway, I don't even remember what the hell we were talking about before we got off topic into Batman. Wanted to talk about John McAfee.
Oh, yeah.
Before we move into our next category. Because we were talking about Reed Hastings, founder of Netflix.
Yeah. John McAfee is my idol, and I mean, not really, but
he's your hero.
He's my hero.
So, for those that don't know, John McAfee is the guy who founded McAfee antivirus, or whatever the hell it is, the security program that's really annoying.
And for those of you who are under 30, that is a antivirus. Software.
Right. Which we don't really use anymore. Yeah. We don't really use antivirus, but he founded it and he made a shit ton of money. And I think they like kicked him out because he was so weird. And now he's just like a billionaire
Except he doesn't do normal people things.
No, he doesn't do normal billionaire things. He does very weird things.
So he's...
like, he's kind of like Batman himself.
Yeah, you know? He buys a lot of illegal guns, and he, like... he lived in Venezuela for a while for some reason.
And I think so. I think there's been rumors that he, like, murdered somebody or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember. Like, he's been in, like, little issues with the law at some point, too.
Yeah. He has this whole persona where he's, like, this international man of mystery.
Yeah.
Super badass.
I want to see a documentary about John McAfee. Just, like, to follow him and his antics.
Yeah.
Because he's crazy.
The thing is I don't... I think he plays it up a lot.
Oh, definitely.
I think he does. And I want to see the John McAfee documentary produced by John McAfee.
Where it's just him, his own version of himself.
Yeah, his version of his superhero self.
Right. He's kind of like Batman himself, in a way.
Yeah, you know? He's a lot like Mel Gibson's Batman that we just
like, he doesn't, like, fight crime, but he could if he wanted to, you know? If anyone in the world could be Batman, I would imagine it could be John McAfee. Like, Bill Gates isn't going to do... you know, he's not going to do it. But I could see John McAfee. If he was, like, 20 years younger, you know?
He could be, like, old Batman from whatever comics Batman. Where Batman was old.
You know what I just realized? John McAfee could have been Batman, like, in a third world country already, and we just wouldn't have known about it.
I think he would have said something. He doesn't, like, keep quiet about his...
He, like, tweets, he's like, I'm the Batman of Indonesia or something. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know, John. I don't know. God, we haven't really gotten through anything. We should do our second trivia, though.
Already? All right.
Already. We just talked about Batman for, like, 20 minutes. Your category is food.
Okay.
What lifeline would you like?
I'll go with 50-50 this time.
Okay, 50-50. Good choice. All right, this food was patented by a mailman in 1935. Is it A, the ruby red grapefruit, B, the Haas avocado, C, the maraschino cherry, or D, the Meyer lemon? Patented by a mailman in 1935. I didn't know you could patent food, but apparently you can.
I have some really good logic for this question.
Give it to me. Give me your logic.
I think there's only one of those that isn't a specific species of plant.
What do you mean?
Like, a Meyer lemon is, like, a crossbreed between, like a Alejandro and an Aldenero lemon. Do you know what I mean?
You just made that up. But yes, I do know what you mean. Yes, yeah. It's like a
maraschino cherry is just a cherry with red and sugar.
What is a maraschino cherry? Is it really just a cherry with sugar on it?
Yes. Well, it's not
it's like a cherry.
It's like syrup.
It's a cherry in, like, sugar water, basically. Yes. Basically. A small cherry in sugar water.
I don't think there's a, like, a maraschino cherry that you pick off the tree.
Like, that's not a type of cherry.
Yeah. I don't think it's a maraschino before the red is added.
The red sugar.
Whereas, water. Like, a Haas avocado... like that, you pick it off the tree and it's already
a type of avocado. Yeah. It's already a Haas or Haas avocado. Yes. Yeah.
And a mailman, I don't think he's like a scientist. I don't think he's able to breed plants.
Okay.
Maybe he had like a green room, though.
Maybe. Greenhouse.
You
never know.
I'm in a 50-50.
Okay. I'm going to eliminate. You shouldn't have told me what you.
I always do this, yeah.
You do. Because now I'm going to use it against you. It was either ruby red grapefruit or the Haas avocado.
Okay. Wait, it's not the cherry?
No, it's not the cherry.
I was
sure. Oh, did you think it was the cherry?
I was sure it was the cherry.
Oh, damn, I should have picked that. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't realize. I thought you were saying it's not the cherry because the cherry isn't something you can pick. But I see what you're saying. You don't think he engineered it?
No,
is what you're saying.
Well, good for him.
but he did apparently.
Haas avocado or ruby red grapefruit.
Well, look at it this way: I'm giving you a fighting chance because you would have just picked the cherry.
No, I would have failed. I considered just going with cherry and not even using my lifeline. All right. Here we go.
Ruby red grapefruit Haas avocado.
Which one's harder to grow?
I don't know anything about that.
How do you grow an avocado?
I have no idea.
Don't you do the thing where you get the pit and you stick sticks in it and you like...
and you dig it, the hole and put it in there? Is that what you do? I don't know. Is there an avocado tree? Or like what?
Does it grow like a lettuce?
I don't know. Like a potato you put in the ground and it like grows, you know, from there. Like there's no tree.
Yeah.
An avocado, I feel like it might be a tree because there's a big seed in there. You know, a lot of seeded fruits grow on trees.
Mm, yes.
Not that avocado is a fruit. I don't even know what it is. I don't know.
Avocado is like a mayonnaise.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know.
It does kind of taste like mayonnaise. Kinda like it's really fatty.
And like, creamy.
And good.
And good.
And good. So ruby red grapefruit Haas avocado.
I'm going to guess ruby red grapefruit.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, final answer.
Ruby red is incorrect. Damn. The correct answer is Haas avocado. I guess he was good at making Haas avocado. Like, I don't even know how you crossbreed a Haas avocado.
Yeah, that was my logic. Like, how do you make...
I don't know how you do that.
...an avocado get another avocado?
Like, I don't like these avocados. I'm going to breed a new avocado. It's like, okay... Jim.
Okay, Mr. Haas.
How are you going to do that? And he's like, I don't know.
I'm going to do the thing where you get the seed and stick the sticks in it.
I didn't give you his name, but his name is like something Haas, like John Haas or something like that. It's named after him. Yeah, I have no idea how you even begin to make an avocado. Speaking of avocado, it's kind of like mayonnaise.
It is, yeah.
Which is also very similar to like a buttery, like margarine.
Oh. Where are you going with this?
Well, I'm going with, is margarine still a thing? That just pumped into my mind.
We were talking about this before the show, and...
Is margarine, like, a thing, though?
I don't really see it in the store.
Do you own margarine? Is it in your refrigerator right
now? No. I mostly use butter and olive oil.
I have butter, yeah, same. Butter and olive oil. But is margarine still, like, a thing?
Yeah, like, my mom uses margarine. I know she does.
My mom uses margarine, too. Like, Country Crock. or whatever. You know what I mean?
Smart Balance or something.
Smart Balance, yeah, that's another one.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember there was a time where it wasn't good for you? Like, margarine, they said.
Yeah.
People said.
There was a time where it was, like, cancer or something.
It's, like, gave you cancer.
Yeah.
And I just never... I don't think we ever got closure on that whole debate. You know, if margarine is good or bad.
I don't know the answer. I think it must be okay because I don't have any cancer.
You're fine.
And I ate it a long time.
Yeah, you ate a lot of margarine. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're probably fine. Keep me updated on that. If you don't mind. What else is going on today? I don't even know what we're doing. Should we do into Reddits or something? Do we have any other things to talk about?
We have a news story.
We do have it. You want to get into that?
Yeah. So Science Magazine reports that Neanderthal mini brains have been grown in dishes.
Which I don't even know how they even start to do this. Like, I read it and I was like, I don't even know how they began this process.
I think they took fossils, somehow got stem cells from them, and somehow...
So they did like a Jurassic Park kind of
thing. Yes, they did Jurassic Park.
Okay.
And
then they put them in a petri dish.
Little brains in a dish.
Mm-hmm. And then there was another part of the story where they were starting to...
I don't know why this isn't in the headline. It's what I would
put
in the
headline.
This is the major part of the story is the scientist who did this was like, okay, we grew the brain. Now we're going to put it in a robot that looks like a crab.
Yeah. A human crab hybrid bot.
Yeah. The Doom Monster.
That sounds incredibly frightening.
Yeah.
Do we know if there's no pictures or anything yet, right?
There's a picture of the brain in the dish.
So they don't have the crab bot picture yet.
No, there's no picture of the crab.
How scary would this look, you know?
I mean,
I'm just imagining this. It just sounds frightening.
it sounds really scary. I don't know how you could make it look not scary.
So we've talked about ethics and genetic engineering before on the show, but this is just one of those things that screams like, no, this is not right. This is not something that we should be doing.
Every once in a while, I see something in the news, and it's like, wow, am I really living in the future? Like, what is this guy doing? Like,
yeah, I don't know. This is weird. Does this seem wrong to you, or is it just me?
I wouldn't want to be a brain grown in a dish. Like,
and I definitely wouldn't want to be put on a crab. And after that... Like, you could defend growing the brain, you know? You're not attaching it to anything. But then they're like, okay, we got the brain. Time to turn on the consciousness and make it into a crab.
Robot,
right? Like, that doesn't... I don't know. Something's wrong, because human brains aren't made to be in crabs, you know? That's just not in the plan of that whole thing. They're just not supposed to be there, so I don't know. This just seems very disturbing to me. We'll have to keep.
Yeah, it says none of the work has been published, so he's not like writing about it. He's just like doing it.
He's just doing it and telling people that he's doing it. Yeah, we're gonna have to keep up to date on the story because I feel like there's more. Because there's gonna be more to it.
Yeah, I want to say that he says that the reason he's putting him in a crab robot is so that he can like study how humans and Neanderthals are different. But I don't. That sounds made up. Like,
that sounds extremely... Man, that sounds like a fake justification for him to be able to do science experiments with Neanderthal brains and crab robots.
Like, no, you didn't, dude. You just wanted to put a brain in a crab robot. Like
we've all wanted to put a brain in a crab robot at some point. You know, you just justifying it extremely in a bad way. We're going to have to keep up to date with this because I want to know where this goes.
I'm going to monitor this.
And I want to see the crab robot.
Too. Same.
This just sounds so wrong. Do you think it can feel pain? It's like, kill me. I'm in a crab robot.
I'm a Neanderthal brain in a dish with crab.
It can't talk. Body. I mean, it's a Neanderthal, so it's got the intelligence of like an ape, you know? So it's smart, though. And it's like, kill me now. You know?
It sounds like a nightmare, yeah. It sounds like a nightmare.
I wouldn't want that in existence.
No.
Personally, do you remember that part in Alien 3 or Resurrection or something where they cloned all the Ripleys and there's some Ripleys clone? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Okay, in Alien 4, they clone Ripley, and for some reason, I don't remember why, but it's discovered later that there's a bunch of clones that they tried that they failed, and a lot of them are still there, like on the table, and they're like alive, but they're just like. Like they're just suffering because they're like a failed.
I think
that's basically what this crab thing would be. It's like a Neanderthal crab, just like it can't move because the brain isn't hooked up and it's just like flailing.
Yeah,
and it's like
doesn't know where it is. It has no sensory.
Sounds like a horror movie.
Just like a never-ending nightmare.
This would make a good sequel to Small Soldiers.
Oh yeah, they put the Neanderthal brain in the action figure.
Mm-hmm. And they can't like talk anymore because they're Neanderthals, but they can attack.
God, wouldn't it be like terrible if they like grunted each other like? Ooh, ooh.
God. And their like overlord is the crab bot, like the original one.
Yeah, yeah.
Small Soldiers 2, Neanderthal Brain.
Crab robot escapes from the toy factory and starts putting.
The toy factory. He's in the toy.
I don't know why he's in there, man. But
it's like toy factory / military R&D.
Yeah, whatever. Rent is really high, so you know you gotta
have to share an office space. Gotta cut costs with the bioengineering department or whatever. He escapes, and then he, like, puts it in all the toys. He starts
putting the Neanderthal brains in all the action figures.
And then they rise up.
Yeah, and what he wants to do is save the crabs from the aquarium. That's, like, his agenda.
Oh, yeah. that's nice.
It's kind of sweet.
Sweet. I'm kind of rooting for him now, you know? This would be one of those movies where I'd root for the bad guys, because screw all those people putting Neanderthal brains in... in
I think at the end of the movie, they should, like, trap him and then, like, release him on a beach, and he'd be like, my home, and run into the water and then get electrocuted and die. That's, like, a really cool scene.
That's dark.
Isn't that awesome?
But good. That's a good scene, yeah. And then they're like, wah, wah. Oh, well. do you want to do some Reddits?
Sure.
Let's do it.
This question was submitted by Mr. Jiff. Thank you, Mr. Jiff.
Thank you, Mr. Jiff.
You're in a room with 100 boxes. 99 of them contain $100,000. One of them will kill you. How many would you open?
Whoa. This is a good question. All right, back up. So repeat the whole thing. I need to really intently listen. Okay.
You're in a room with 100 boxes. Uh-huh. 99 of them contain $100,000. And one of them will kill you. How many would you open, if any? Oh,
this is a great question. Would you open any? First of all, we should ask if you would open any.
Would
you open any boxes?
I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
I think I would, too. I mean, chances are so low. In the beginning.
I mean, I don't have good luck with these kind of things, but...
I would probably open the killing box in the beginning. Like, yeah. Just it would just come out first. Yeah. I'd be like, that's typical.
Yeah, it'd open it and just be so, like, of course. Like,
of course, of course. So you would open one. I think I would open one too. So how many would you open, though?
I would probably only open one.
You would open one. Because you'd get $100,000. Yeah. It's not a whole lot of money, but it's not a small amount. It's like a really nice...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, $100,000.
Yeah, like, I this is basically like taking a 10-hour drive. Like,
it's not life-changing amount of money, but it's nice.
Like, I'm pretty sure you have a 1% chance of dying every time you drive 10 hours, so...
That's true. No, you're right about that. It's
like the same thing.
Oh, if you interpret it that way, yeah. Like, what other things do you have a 1% chance of death? You do that all the time, so you might as well open one box.
Swimming in the ocean, maybe not.
No, not swimming. But yeah, driving would be a good one. Like, and for every, like, 10,000 miles, you probably have a 1% chance or something, you know?
Yeah. Also, I would open one just to, like, get that rush. You know what I mean?
And then die when it's the death box.
No, I don't. That's why I would only open one. Because, like, after one, like, I've already got the rush. I've already got the money. Like,
yeah,
that's all I need.
Yeah. I mean, you're gaining more money every time you open a box. The problem is you're not... The amount isn't going up, but the risk is.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like I would be more inclined if, like, the amount went up every time.
Oh, like it was...
So, like, yeah.
It went up linearly, like, box two is $200, $200,000.
Yeah, or something like, you know, the first box is $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Second box is $100,000. The third box is $1 million.
Okay.
The four, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it, like, maybe geometrically, you know, goes up. Or maybe even the first box is like 100, and then it goes to like 1,000, and then, you know, like doubles every time. Or not doubles, power of two every time, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah.
So it's like 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000.
Well, I might open 3 boxes in that case.
In which case?
If it was 100,000, 10,000, 4 boxes, maybe.
What starting value would it have to be for you to open 4 boxes, though?
Probably $100, because I want the 3 digits. That's important.
So you would start if the first box was only $100, you would start there. If it ramped up to $100,000,
yeah,
in the third box,
yeah, I'd do that.
Really? Wow. And then the fourth box, you'd be really tempted because you'd get $1 million if you went to the next one. You know what I mean?
I would, but I don't know.
Like, you do 1, 2, 3, and you get $100,000, and then if you open a fourth, you get $1 million, and then after that one, you get $100 million.
You know what?
Like, the temptation would be huge for the first 10 boxes, you know?
If I were drunk, I'd probably go to, like, 10.
I would do 10. Like, if I was drunk, I would do 10 boxes.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're going to get, like, $1 billion or something.
Yeah.
And it's a 10% chance of death. You know, like, that's not that bad.
It's pretty bad, but...
I mean, it's bad, but, like, hey, whatever. It's fine.
Fuck it, yeah. I'm drunk. Like,
I don't have anything to live for anyway.
Yeah.
No, I probably would do that if I was drunk. If I was sober, I would do 3 boxes in that way. Mm-hmm. But if it was just the 100,000 thing, I would do one. Just one.
That's a fun question. That's a
very interesting question. Yeah, that was really fun. I like that.
All right.
We want to hear from you, listeners, what you would do with the box situation. So
how many boxes would you open?
At contact@timebatshow.com or tweet at us at timebatshow.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This question is submitted by Taro705.
Thank you, Taro705.
Thanks. What's your strongest memory of trying to manifest superpowers as a child?
This is a good one. When I was a kid, for a little while, I wasn't convinced, but I was like, maybe I have latent telekinesis, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was a span of time, I don't remember how old it was, probably like 8, where I was like convinced if I thought hard enough, I could move stuff with my mind.
Yeah.
And I remember spending like a good couple days trying to do it, and I couldn't, but yeah, I don't know. That's my story. What about you?
I spent periods of time where I thought I could, like, make energy balls or something if I, like, focused.
Like Dragon Ball Z, yeah, or something?
Very similar,
or like
to that.
Street Fighter? Like Kamehameha, basically.
I remember being able to do something where it would make me feel like I was, like, sucking energy in from my surroundings. But I thought the reason was that I just didn't know how to release it.
Oh, so that's where you failed. You could collect it, you just couldn't let it go. So maybe you still have this power, you just you never learned the second step.
I don't think I do. I think it was just like tensing my muscles.
You know what you need to do? You need to go to like a temple in like Tibet.
Yeah.
On the top of a cliff and learn the ways of the monks there.
Yeah, they would probably teach me how.
They would know. They would know. You want to do your last and final trivia question?
Yes.
It's that time already. Mm-hmm. This category is fun.
Oh, that's something I'm bad at.
What would you like as your final lifeline?
News. 60-second info, please.
60-second. Oh, good luck with this one. Are you ready for your question?
Yes.
All right. Before it was rebranded as a children's toy, Play-Doh was initially sold as what? You know Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Children's toy. Before it was rebranded as a children's toy, Play-Doh was initially sold as what? A wallpaper cleaner, a bonding agent, a lint trap, or horse food?
Oh, no. That's hilarious. Do you think anyone's... I mean, I don't think that's the answer, but do you think anyone's ever fed their horse Play-Doh?
I bet someone out there has done it, yes. I almost guarantee you it's happened.
Because,
like a kid, like a small child, yeah, or like a, you know,
so
younger
here,
kid.
Horsey.
Here, horsey, have some Play-Doh. And I was like, mom, thanks. Mom, mom. Mom, thanks. Play-Doh. People have eaten Play-Doh, like... Kids have eaten Play-Doh.
I knew kids that did. Yeah, it was.
It's not toxic, but it's not like good for you. You know.
Yeah.
I think they do make it like slightly, not like they don't make it edible, but they try to like remove toxins from it so that it doesn't like kill you if you eat it.
Yeah.
I think I tried. Have you ever tried it? Like eating
I've
it or like
put,
licking
like,
it?
Like put my tongue on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's salty.
It's really salty. Yeah. Yeah, it's really salty. I remember doing that as like a dare in like, you know, fourth grade or something. Mm-hmm. You know. It's like super salty. Anyway, I mean, horses love salt, right?
They do. The salt lick
no,
is the horse treat.
Salt lick? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there might be something there.
I don't think horses eat Play-Doh.
I'm just saying. Well, I'm not saying they eat it now, but, you know, maybe it was branded as horse
treat. Yeah, like originally, yeah.
Do you want to hear the possibilities again?
Yes.
Okay. Is it A, wallpaper cleaner, B, a bonding agent, C, lint trap, or D, horse food?
All right, well, info please is not going to help me with this.
I doubt it. I mean, you could try. You could go to Play-Doh and see what happens.
Yeah, let's try, actually.
All right, let's do it. I'm so excited for you.
Okay.
I have to go to the Windows timer, and it takes like a minute to set up. And then by the time it's set up, you're already done with the question. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, ready?
Ready.
Go.
Play-Doh. All right. Search results. How to correct your old age spots fast.
yeah, that's what you need.
Sweet Easter facts is the one result found.
Really? From Play-Doh? Mm-hmm. On Info Please.
Yes.
Who makes Info Please? They're, like, useless.
So this is an article about Easter, and it says non-candy substitutes for Easter gifts. Mm-hmm. And it says crayons, movie passes, jump rope,
Play-Doh,
baseball cards, videos, stencils, markers, paperback books. No. Chalk and Play-Doh. Play-Doh.
This doesn't help you.
It doesn't help me at all.
That was the only result you got.
The only result.
Well, that sucks. Well, you have 5 seconds left, so. Okay.
Well, I closed it, because.
Okay. Well, I closed it, so right. That was useless. All right, so Play-Doh, before it was rebranded as a children's toy, Play-Doh was initially sold as a wallpaper cleaner, bonding agent, lint trap, or horse food.
Okay, I don't think it's a bonding agent, because it's like not very sticky. Mm-hmm. Lint trap, I've never heard of that. I don't know what that is. So it might be that. Traps, yeah.
Okay.
Wallpaper cleaner. Maybe. Since it's not very sticky, you could like smear it on something.
Yeah, that's true.
And it wouldn't.
Yeah, that's true. And then
you're like,
and then
yeah. The
and then horse food.
No, I don't think right? It's horse food.
Right? Horse food.
I'm going to go with wallpaper cleaner, final answer.
You're going to go with wallpaper cleaner, final answer?
Still there.
Wallpaper cleaner is, yeah. Are you still
here? Still here, yeah.
Hello?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay, good. It's fine. Wallpaper cleaner is correct.
Yay.
Good job. I don't know how you did that. Good work. You really logic that one out.
Yeah, it worked a little better than my Haas avocado logic.
One, you got 1 of 3. You failed really bad in the other two questions. But that's okay. That's fine. I can't believe you thought Best Little Whorehouse in Texas was the movie that Reed Hastings, the founder of Netflix, read. It's fine.
It's a movie I would forget to return. I've never seen it, but...
That's true. You'd probably... It would be, like, under your couch or something.
I'd be like, let me forget about this.
Well, we don't rent movies anymore, but have you ever rented a movie and it was, like, you, like, lost it somewhere?
Yeah.
And it was, like, there forever?
I know exactly the movie. I had to pay a lot of money for it.
What was it? What? Tell us your story.
So I used to work at Blockbuster, and
me too. Actually,
yeah, you used to be able to rent movies for free when you worked there,
like on a weekly basis.
But if you lost it, you had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And I lost this movie when I worked there.
What movie was it?
It was Dead and Breakfast.
Dead and Breakfast.
Yes, it's like you
what
know,
even
like
is
Bed
that?
And Breakfast, but Dead and
yeah,
Breakfast.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Is it a zombie movie?
It's a really good movie, and everyone should watch it. It's actually really good.
Was it a zombie movie?
Yeah, it's a zombie horror comedy.
Set in a bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Sounds great. Yeah.
It's not a good movie, but it's funny and like...
It sounds like a good movie to watch in like at midnight on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, it is.
Do you want to do some more Reddits before we finish the show off?
Sure. Actually, do you have a Would You Rather? Do you want to do one of those?
I have a lot of Would You Rathers. We're not going to get through them all. So I'll just choose the best one.
Okay.
The best couple. Here's a really quick one. Would you rather be on the launcher for aliens or be the centipede every night? I don't know what the launcher for aliens means, but...
That sounds like you're like on a rocket getting sent somewhere.
Getting sent to the aliens, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a fear of rockets. I wouldn't get on one.
So you'd be the centipede every night?
That also sounds scary.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
You, like, metamorph into a centipede. It's like the Wolfman, but you're a centipede.
Yeah.
But you're not, like, a small one. You're, like, a giant centipede.
Yeah, that's what I imagine.
So you, like, wake up, and you're, like, really long.
Yeah.
And you're in your bed. Have you ever seen James and the Giant Peach?
Yes.
Okay, you know the centipede in that?
Yes.
You become that guy every night.
He was pretty cool.
He was cool. He smoked cigars and stuff. He got into fist fights.
I remember. He was like wasn't he like the drunk Irishman?
Yes. He was like the best guy. He's like, hey, I'm going to fight you. I'm the centipede. And you're like always smoking a cigar.
Well, if it's like when I was a kid, yeah, I'm choosing him.
You'd be that guy.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, he was my favorite character, and I was like, I want to be like this guy when I grow up. Like, that's who I want to be. I'm nowhere near like that guy now, but he was really cool. He would always get into fights and stuff.
That was such a good movie.
That was. All those characters were really good. You had the grasshopper? And he played like the violin with on his feet.
Yeah.
He was real
Ladybug, who was really nice.
Be him. Yeah. That was a good movie, man. Book's good too, obviously, but yeah, James the Giant Peach. If you haven't watched that, go watch it immediately.
Yeah.
So you'd be the centipede if you get to be James the Giant Peach.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm picking that.
That's
too.
Like a Vegas. That's a perfect like Vegas comedy act. You could work in Las Vegas every night. You turn into the centipede and you just go.
You fight people. You take people to fight. Yeah. You're like, want to fight me? Yeah. And they come and fight you. As a centipede. And you have like a bunch of boxing gloves because you have a bunch of arms.
Oh, yeah, know? Yeah.
Boom. Would you rather never be able to follow your dreams again or eat them twice?
Hmm. Well. Eat them twice.
All right, we'll do
eat
that.
Eat them one. Twice.
I'm just getting through these really quick because I have a couple more. Would you rather? This one's hard. Would you rather everyone be your dad, or you're stuck in a sleep? So you're like Sleeping Beauty.
Everyone be my dad,
or you're in a coma. Basically, those are options.
Wait, no. The problem with this is you can't really have a meaningful relationship without being in one with your dad.
No, you can't.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. And then everywhere you go, it's like your dad's there, you know? And it's like, it's not good.
Well, there are some relationships that you don't want to have with...
everyone, no, yeah. Right? That would be awkward.
Ooh, no. All right, I'm going to be asleep.
Like, you go to the McDonald's or the Arby's, and you, like, buy a burger.
From your dad.
The cashier is like, hey, son. How you doing today? And you're like, fine.
Do you need some money? Like...
You're like, no, Dad, I'm just getting a beef and cheddar sandwich. Because this is at Arby's, obviously.
Yeah.
So you'd rather be in a coma?
Yeah, I'd rather be in a coma.
You'd wake up eventually. All right, would you rather be able to teleport anywhere, but everyone hates you? Or be the best person within the rest of your life?
Best? Oh, wait. Would I? I mean, teleporting is really useful.
But everyone hates
it. But teleporting is really useful.
It is. You could do anything with teleporting.
Yeah.
You could rob banks and...
Yeah. You'd steal gold. You could...
Do whatever you wanted.
But everyone would hate you. You'd be lonely.
Everyone would be lonely.
I think I would choose best person.
Yeah, that's fair.
Even though teleporting is my favorite superpower.
If I was, like, really evil, I would choose teleporting. Because I'd be like, everyone hates me already. And then I'd get a dog, you know? And the dog loves you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you're fine, you know? Be like a supervillain. You know, you could teleport, get a lot of money, and then you have a lot of pets that love you unconditionally. So everyone that hates you, screw them, you know?
I like that your choice was a dog. That's so much better than a cat.
What is
because all the evil people that choose cats.
Yeah, but like as an evil man that everyone hates, like I need companionship.
Exactly.
And I feel like I'm gonna get that more with a dog.
Why don't more of these villains choose a dog?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's why they're so cats. Evil. They don't have a dog.
They don't have a dog to cheer them up.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think cats more like. It's more of, like, an evil-ish animal. Like, it's more, you know, ooh, it's mysterious.
Yeah, they're, like, independent and...
But, like, if I was evil, like, I would be evil. And then my pet is going to be opposite. I want them to be happy and nice to me, you know.
Yeah. You can't wear that evil persona 24/7. Sometimes you have to have some love with the dog.
You got to have some fun with the dog. Exactly. Have fetch and all that stuff. Yeah. Do you have any other Reddits you want to end the show with before we sign off today?
Sure. Let's do one last one. What's the worst thing to have a handful of? This was asked by Fish09.
Worst thing. This is a great question. I don't know the answer, but it's great. Maybe, like, this is going to sound weird, but, like, butter?
Yeah, that thing about butter, you can't wash your hands afterwards, because...
No, it's, like, impossible. Like, you can't do it.
And if you try to touch your face afterwards, your face is going to break like out because it's
butter
oily.
All over the place?
Yeah.
You put butter all over your face? I don't even know how to get butter off your hands after you, like, hold it. Like, what do you do, you know?
I don't think this is true, so don't do this, users. But the first thing that came to mind was gasoline. Do you know how people say that?
No, I've heard that. Like, it gets stuff off.
I don't know if
I don't know butter. Why. I don't know the properties of that. Like, what do they say use gasoline for?
I don't know.
Like, removing something. I don't remember what it is.
You do it.
Like, something, yeah. Some property of gasoline, like, makes it remove certain things.
Allegedly, yeah.
I've never tried it, though, because I don't want to burn my hands off. But yeah, butter would be really uncomfortable to hold. Mm-hmm. You know, not only that, but when you're done holding it, you have butter on your hands, and it'll take you, like, an hour to get the butter off your hands. Mm-hmm. You basically have to use soap, but that doesn't, like, work the first time. You have to do it, like, 5 more times. Yeah. And then, like, when you grip the soap thing, you're getting butter all over that, you know, as you're doing it.
And then you drop it in the water, and the water sprays all over your floor.
And then you get butter water on your floor, and it's just the worst
thing. I've done this.
No, me too. Sometimes, I mean, you know me. When I, like, do something wrong, like, it's a cascading thing. So it, like, just keeps getting worse and worse. So I'd have, like, butter on my hands. Then I'd go to wash my hands, and I'd drop the soap, and it'd get all over the floor. And then I'd pick it up, but I'd get butter all over the soap. Yeah,
you'd fall.
And then, like I'd fall. I'd slip on the butter floor, you know. Yeah. And then I'd reach for something, and it's, like, my phone bill, and I'd get butter all over that. So I, like, wouldn't be able to, like... pay it anymore.
You try to pay it, and the lady would be like, listen, this was the notarized copy of the bill you need to pay. You're going to have to get a new one. Pay late fee.
We can't have butter on our bill, sir. We don't accept butter bills at this location. What do you think is the worst thing to hold in your... to hold? What was it? Hold in two hands?
What's the worst thing to have a handful of?
Handful of, yeah.
Yeah, butter is awful.
You have to have something else other than butter, though.
Handful of Neanderthal brains.
That has been episode 89 of the Time Bet Show. Well, who's our sponsor today, Batsack?
Our sponsor today is Ancient Macintosh. Old-fashioned margarine, I guess.
Old-fashioned margarine. When you need your fix of old-fashioned margarine... Yeah,
choose Ancient Macintosh.
Choose Ancient Macintosh. Remember, when you're feeling kind of blue...
Do something that's good for you.
There you go. This is episode 89. I'm Tim Aces.
I'm Batsnacks.
Have a good night, everyone, and drive safe.
Drive safe. Have a good night.
Bye.